Oh, hello, hello, and welcome to the New York Mystery Machine, which is, you know, Tammany Hall, but for them ghosts. You may be like, hey, where is Christina saying Tammany Hall for Ghosts in her crazy voice? I'm recording this separate from Christina because this week we had the craziest recording situation. We haven't recorded in a couple of weeks because I had no surgery. I'm doing much better. Thanks for everyone who's asking. And then we decided to record this past Friday for the next few episodes. But if you live in New York City, you know that Friday there was a crazy snowstorm. So we wanted to, Christina moved further from the studio. So we wanted to keep her safe so she didn't have to like make a crazy commute in the snow. So then we tried to record it, you know, virtually, and we had internet issues, but we got through it. And 4 hours later, after we recorded two episodes over the course of 4 hours with all the technical difficulties, I went to edit those episodes today, and basically the sound just wasn't great. And you know, I really care about the quality of the audio on these shows and these episodes, so we made the decision to scrap those two episodes regardless of how long it took to record them with all the technical difficulties, and we're going to record them probably later this week or next week. So this week we decided to go into the old Patreon vault and pull out an episode that only our patrons have heard, all about a ghost ship. So we're excited to present this really great episode that, you know, if you aren't a patron, which, you know, many of you aren't, you never gotten to hear. And so if you are a patron, well, then you hear it again, because this came out back in April of 2022. So that was a long time ago. So if you're a patron, you listened to it already, you may have forgotten it. But if you like today's episode, guess what? Every month on the old Patreon, except for January of this month, because my surgery, we weren't able to get a bonus in there. But we're going to double up probably in February. But every month on our Patreon, for the people who donate $5 or more, you get one of these episodes coming at you on your own private Spotify link. So to do that, you head over to patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine, and for as little as $5, you get one of these as well as some other fun stuff. And so lots of patron stuff coming up in this next few weeks. We got some new stickers that just arrived. We're going to drop those on our Instagram this week. We're working on a new place for our t-shirts. That's coming out in the next couple weeks as well. Just trying to find the right home for it, but all those designs are coming back. Some new designs, our new favorite design, which we made a sticker of, will also be available. We're also going to make it into a mug, so it's going to be a really fun design. So I'm going to post that this week. So yeah, and patrons are going to get a sticker in the mail in a couple of weeks, because I'm going to send you our new swag. So if you're signed on to our patron, I think it's the $15 or the $20 level, something like that. But there's a whole level where you get some free stuff from us every month. Not every month. You get free stuff from us randomly. And so you're going to get our brand new sticker if you're part of that group on Patreon. Anyway, I'm excited for you guys to listen to this episode. It's a really fun one. Christina leads it. It's her first time that she led a patron exclusive episode. So that's pretty exciting. We're going to try to be back next week. If all goes well, Christina's having a bunch of scheduling issues. You know, she's a mom now, and, you know, she has a new home, and, you know, life is crazy. So we're going to try to get out and re-record those episodes we did this past week again with our better quality. And so, and if not, we'll take next week off. But we'll let you know on our socials. And as always, if you don't follow us on the socials, be sure that you do. You head on over to NY Mystery Machine on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, and NY Mysteries on the X for all of your updates. We are pretty active on our Instagram and our Facebook. So be sure to like, follow, subscribe. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. I think that's all the announcements I got. So without any further ado, please enjoy this patron exclusive that's no longer exclusive to patrons. It's for everyone, all the way back from April 2022. Enjoy. We have a special treat for you today.
Yeah.
A very special treat. And do you know why it's a special treat? Because for the first time in our illustrious patron exclusive, today's patron exclusive comes to you from the brilliant and the talented Christina Marinelli.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
She's bringing it.
Glad to be here.
Christina, what on earth have you brought us?
We've done pirates.
We've done
digging for buried treasure.
We dug it.
Now it's time for a ghost ship.
I love a ghost ship.
I also want to flag for our patrons.
Yo-ho. All together. Da-na-na-na-na-na. That first Pirates movie was dope.
Yes.
It got crazy after, but first one was pretty dope.
I want to flag for our patrons that if you know anything about my episodes, is that they are filled with the rustling of papers. I cannot today, and it's making me very uncomfortable.
She's reading off a cell phone, not even a computer.
It wouldn't print, and I don't know why, and I'm very upset, so here we go. So we're going to be talking about the Mary Celeste. Weighing in at
Mary Celeste. Hello, Mary.
Weighing in at 282 tons, the Mary Celeste was a merchant brigantine ship. What is a brigantine, you ask?
Like a HMS Pinafore.
I am the very model of a modern major general.
Is that a brigantine general?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I'm going to go with, let's just say
it. I don't know why that popped in my brain.
I love it, though. I love that this is where you went. A brigantine is a two-masted ship with a whole bunch of sails. So if you imagine a ship with two masts and then a whole bunch of sails all over the place, like in like all those little etchies.
So how would you describe it? fuck ton of sails.
Fuck ton of sails. That's basically what it is. Just a fuck ton of sails. That's a brigantine. So the Mary Celeste was no stranger to scrapes. It was originally known as the Amazon, but she changed her name after some odd mishaps. Its first captain died suddenly, and there was a collision with another ship in the English Channel. On its last voyage, the first for the ship after it was refitted, the Mary Celeste was captained by Benjamin Briggs of Wareham, Massachusetts. Its first mate was Albert G. Richardson. Its second mate was Andrew Gilling of New York, and the steward, Edward William Head. There are also four sailors, all Germans from the Frisian Islands, Folkert and Bas Lorenzen, brothers, Arian Martins, and Gottlieb Gutschall. Also traveling with the ship was the captain's wife, Sarah, and their baby daughter. Their 7-year-old Arthur was left with Captain Briggs' mother so that he could continue attending school. So, October 20th, 1872, Briggs arrived to Pier 50 in the East River. They loaded up 1,701 barrels of denatured alcohol, so essentially fuel. And on November 3rd, Briggs writes a note to his mother writing that they would leave for Genoa on Tuesday and that, quote, our vessel is in beautiful trim and I hope we shall have a fine passage. So Tuesday, November 5th rolls around. The crew maneuvers into New York Harbor. The weather looks uncertain, so they moor off Staten Island, where Sarah sends another letter to her mother-in-law. Quote, tell Arthur, to their kid, I make great dependence on the letters I shall get from him and will try to remember anything that happens on the voyage, which he would be pleased to hear. And 2 days later, the weather is good enough to set sail and Mary Celeste leaves New York Harbor and moves into open waters. The next we know for sure of the ship occurs on Wednesday, December 4th, 1872. So the De Grazia, a Canadian brigantine ship, again, 1,001 sails. It had been moored in Hoboken, New Jersey, and was destined for Genoa via the Gibraltar, like Mary Celeste. And it was also transporting petroleum. It's en route, following a very similar route as the Mary Celeste, and it departed for Gibraltar on November 15th, so just 8 days after the Mary Celeste. On December 4th, the De Grazia was about halfway between the Azores and Portugal's coast when at 1 p.m., the helmsman told Captain Morehouse that there was a vessel about 6 miles away and heading in a weird, erratic course in the general direction of the De Grazia. They figured something has to be wrong, so they draw closer. They see no one on deck, so Morehouse sends some of his team, the first mate Oliver DeVoe of Nova Scotia and second mate John Wright, on board to investigate. They could see the name Mary Celeste on her stern, and when they get aboard, they find it is without its crew. The sails were all messed up. Some were even missing. The rigging was damaged. The ropes were hanging over the sides. The main hatch was secure, but the other hatches were open, and the ship's single lifeboat was missing. The binnacle, a real word, it's apparently a standing case for navigation equipment, like magnetic compasses and stuff. The binnacle was shifted and its glass cover broken. They also found there was about 3.5 feet of water in the hold, which is a lot, but also not really worrisome because the vessel itself was so big. They also found a sounding rod, which is used for measuring the amount of water in the hold.
Sure.
And that was found on the deck. Of the cargo, they found 9 of the 1,701 barrels empty, but these were made of reed oak, whereas the other barrels were white oak and red oak, not reed oak. Oh my God. Blech. Of the cargo, they found 9 of the 1,701 barrels empty, but these were made of red oak, whereas the other barrels were white oak, and red oak is more porous and prone to leakage, so kind of makes some kind of sense, I guess. They then found the ship's log in the cabin, with the final entry at 8 a.m. on November 25th, i.e. 9 days earlier, recording the Mary Celeste's position off the coast of Santa Maria Island of the Azores, which is about 400 nautical miles from where the De Gracia found her. Now, ship logs are generally recorded every hour, so the fact that 8 a.m. is the last entry would lead us to believe that whatever happened happened shortly after 8 a.m. or at least between 8 and 9.
And you're saying this all happened 9 days? This is all 9 days. Like, this ship now, Kate, found that 9 days after that entry?
The De Gracia departed, let me double check, I believe 8 days after the Maria Celeste, and this entry was 9 days before they found it. So between the point of, so the Maria Celeste finally leaves on November 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And
1870.
72.
Yeah.
And is found by the De Gracia on December 4th. The same year.
1872. Wow. And for it to be like wiped in a month? What was the what was the condition of the ship? Like,
tattered. So
structurally,
particularly the sails were messed up and missing. Gotcha. Parts of them were, you know, some of them were missing. They were all messed up. The rigging was damaged. The main hatch was secure. The other hatches were open. One lifeboat is missing.
That's fascinating.
There's,
how many men were aboard initially?
Let me pull it up. There were, let's see, I didn't put an actual number, so let's count them. There was the captain, its first mate,
yep,
its second mate, a steward, 4 other sailors, also the captain's wife and their baby daughter.
It's 10 people.
10 people. One lifeboat.
Including a kid. I mean,
it could work, I guess.
It could work.
But
where are they going?
Where are they going? There's also the water in the hold, right? And not a ton, but a lot. But not, you know, like a ton. And the binnacle was shifted and the cover broken. So, you know, there's something weird's going on. The cabins were wet and messy, but otherwise untouched. Riggs' cabin had his personal belongings still. The ship's papers and navigational instruments were gone. There were still lots of foodstuffs aboard. There was no sign of fire or other struggle or violence. So no blood, nothing like that. Morehouse then took the abandoned ship to Gibraltar, where a salvage court was to begin. So they essentially, you know, salvage court hearings essentially determine if the crew who find the abandoned whatever are entitled to an insurance payout for the salvage, etc. So salvage court hearings were led by Sir James Cochrane, Chief Justice of Gibraltar, on December 17th, 1872. Attorney General of Gibraltar and the proctor for the Queen herself, this is under Victoria, was Frederick Solly Flood. So Solly Flood was suspicious that perhaps there was foul play here of some kind, but in the end of it, after 3 months of investigation, no one can turn up any evidence. So eventually, the crew that discovered the Mary Celeste receives their payment. It was only about a sixth of the $46,000 insurance policy held on the Mary Celeste. So some speculate that Solly Flood wasn't really convinced that the crew of the De Gracia were innocent of foul play in some way or involved in whatever caused the Mary Celeste, because why wouldn't they get more money, essentially?
How are they involved? It's a month away that they found this.
But they left, they say they found it a month later.
Okay, okay.
Right, so that's one thing. Maybe they found it earlier. They only depart maybe, they say, they only depart about 9 days. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They only depart 8 days after the Mary Celeste. So I don't know. Maybe they could have caught up. But what on earth happened, right? So a recent investigation sought to recreate the Mary Celeste's location by examining the transcriptions from the hearings. The Solly Flood transcribed the last 5 days of the log slate into his notes, saying that there was nothing unusual up to that point. Now, unfortunately, the actual log has gone missing.
It was there when they found it, though.
It was there when they found it.
And now it's missing.
Well, it's missing since the time of the trial, the salvage court trial. So Solly Flood said that there, you know, the prosecutor said that there was nothing unusual about any of the notations up until about, 5 days before, or, the 5 days leading up to its final entry. So he transcribed those, but at some point
it goes missing.
We don't know where it is. So any recreations have to rely on Solly Flood's transcriptions. Now, based on that, combined with the thing that exists, International Comprehensive Ocean Atmosphere Data Set, or ICOADS, which contains global marine information from 1784 to at least 2007 for the purpose of climate change studies. Based on this, Anne McGregor, a documentarian, and her team determined that Briggs probably thought he was about 120 miles west of where he actually was, perhaps because of inaccurate equipment. Don't actually fully understand what the math involved in that is, but that's what they determined. So essentially, Briggs would have thought that he should have spotted land 3 days ago. Mm. According to Solly Flood's log, the day before reaching the Azores, Briggs had turned northward off of his course, perhaps seeking haven of some kind. The waters were rough around that time, but even with a bit of faulty equipment, Briggs was a very seasoned captain, so why abandon ship? McGregor learned that on the prior voyage, the Mary Celeste had been transporting coal. Now, remember that the ship had just been refitted before this voyage. So McGregor speculates that perhaps coal dust and construction detritus clogged the ship's pumps, which would have made it impossible to know how much water was in the hull, which would have been impossible to figure out by looking because of how tightly packed it was. So perhaps, unsure about how long the ship could continue sailing, and finally having sight of the island of Santa Maria, and with his baby daughter aboard, perhaps Briggs ordered all to abandon ship. But then, of course, where did they end up? Yeah. We don't have bodies. We don't have sightings. We don't have rumors of them living the high life on a tiny island somewhere. They're just gone.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by a bunch of things. I'm fascinated by the items that are gone. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by the sails being gone. Mm-hmm. Fascinated by the navigation being gone. It feels like to me one possibility is that they take the sails and they take navigation. They jump on that boat hoping that both of those things help them out. Mm-hmm. Right? That's one possibility. But again, I don't know where they go. I don't know where they end up. Do they leave the log there so there's a log of what happened so people know? But there's no evidence. If I'm leaving a log in a book, I mean, on a ship, the last thing I'm writing is we're abandoned
ship, right?
So that I want you to find this.
Right.
I want you to see that
this
happened.
That's a good point. Because in case someone can find it and be like, oh, shit, they're out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's look at the nearby islands.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, literally, in my brain, like, I want them to find us. And they're not going to find us any other way unless, because our little rescue boat is small.
Yeah.
This is a big ship, and chances are the ship that was behind us is going to run into this ship.
Right.
So it's good that they know where we are. So that boggles my mind a little bit, that there was, if they did abandon ship, why did that leave any signs of abandoning the ship?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
10 people can fit on a lifeboat if they need to fit on a lifeboat.
Apparently there was plenty of food stuff, so it's not like they were running out of food. I imagine they would have taken some, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, sails gone, navigation gone, food's there, but some was taken. Ship log is in, then it goes missing afterwards, but I don't think that's any inconsequential to the...
Yeah, I think that's just, messy archiving.
Oh, wait, and they never know.
That's it. So one theory is that did the crew of, like I said, of the other ship, the rescuing ship... do something awful to get salvage money, but they didn't even end up with that much. Like, what benefit is there to having some kind of attack on this vessel?
And there's no proof of attack.
Right.
But then again, you're also saying it. You're saying it from the eyes of the people who may have done it.
Right.
Who could have, in theory, cleaned up any messes before they brought the boat back.
Right.
But that'd be a lot of messes.
Be a lot of mess.
If there's bloodshed, you're like,
yeah,
scrubbing down wood, and blood doesn't come out of wood that great.
Right. Could it have been mutiny of a kind? But why?
And, again,
and where did they go?
And where did they go? Where do they go? Is the thing.
Yeah. Could it be a vortex?
Is it a Bermuda Triangle situation?
Is it a Bermuda Triangle situation? Is it the aliens? We don't know what they smelled, but they're on a moving vehicle. That's pretty common.
But the fact that the lifeboat is gone
is
what
weird.
Brings me back in, right? Like, if you told me this story, Christina, and then they gone, no one's on the ship, the ship is gone. And the ship is there, but no one's on the ship. Everything's intact.
Mm-hmm.
But giving me the information that the sails are gone, the navigation's gone, and the lifeboat's gone, for me, it seems like they made an exit.
Mm-hmm.
But to Weir, and years later, they're never found. They're never found out sea. They're never found anywhere. And like, in theory, bringing the navigation stuff, they should be able to go back to where they came from or where they were going to.
Right.
Even if weather like fucks shit up. But like, still, the weather was a little choppy, you said.
The weather was choppy, and it's possible that he thought that based on the logs, and I wish I could actually see a transcription of the log. Not that it would mean anything to me, but I would feel better. That perhaps the equipment was inaccurate, and he thought that he was 120 miles west of where he actually was, in which case he would have thought that he should have seen land sooner.
But this is a good-ass captain. Like, that, you also, something you said, too, which I stuck with me. Like, he's not a rookie.
No.
He's not bad at his job.
No.
He's seasoned. He knows what he's doing.
This is a routine sort of.
I don't believe that bullshit that he was off chart. Like, that's a rookie mistake. That's not a seasoned captain's mistake.
Right.
That's mind-boggling.
Isn't it? It's crazy.
I don't even have a theory. I don't even have a theory. It's bothering me. I can't even come up with a real theory.
Yeah.
I don't understand the motive of the other. I mean, yeah, I guess there's insurance money, but like, it would be a lot of work to make it seem like these people are just missing.
Right.
Like, a lot of work to make it seem like these people are missing and not murdered.
I mean, it almost, I don't know. If you want to say that we found an abandoned boat, we totally didn't have anything to do with it. Wouldn't you want there to be maybe more of a sign of a struggle of a kind? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that just seems more incriminating.
No,
to
I don't think so. I think you want to be like, we found this empty boat. We don't know where they gone. Like, where's the team? We don't know. Where's the captain? We don't know. But lifeboat was missing, so I guess they made an exit, and the water took them. I mean, again, here it comes down to, if the weather is bad, a lifeboat can't handle really bad weather. So they could have either went even more off course and then ended up someplace else in the world and died undersea there. You know? I don't know.
But it's interesting, too, that if the weather's that bad and you're not sure how much longer you can stay afloat, why preemptively get in a tiny little frickin' lifeboat?
That's what,
right? Wait till the ship starts to go down. Be like, okay, well, guess that's how much time we had. Let's get in the lifeboat, guys.
Yeah, I think lifeboat feels like, when you are aware of your fate, lifeboat seems like the thing you build to. Like, you don't, like, why are you, I don't know, but maybe not. I don't know. At the same time, maybe not. Like, because if you have the time and preparation to properly get into the lifeboat, maybe you do. But the ship didn't sink.
The ship didn't sink. It kept floating. And so, like, their idea is, like, maybe he wasn't sure how, because of, like, coal being in whatever plumbing stuff, you know, maybe he couldn't tell how much longer they were able to last, like, how high the water really was, how well the pumps were working.
I mean, it's only 10 people. It's not like it's weighing a lot.
It's not. Well, I mean, there's all that cargo.
Sure.
But, again, Why wouldn't you wait until it's like, you know what? The ship is starting to feel like it's starting.
That's what I'm thinking, right? Because
enough time to still grab stuff and get
like
in the
boat.
Like,
you told me the ship's not sunk. So, like, it's not like the Titanic when, like, they know the ship's going down. They feel it. They see it.
Right.
It's going down.
It's going down. It's going down fast, guys. You know.
Oh, it's fascinating. If I had a ship, it'd called the Xena Warrior Princeship.
Oh, that's good.
That's what I'd call
that's
my
ship. That's
very
good. I like that.
The Xena Warrior Princeship. Like Xena Warrior Princess.
I like it. That's a good one.
I thought about
one.
That. The beginning of the. Oh, hold on to the end. That was just, that's a doozy.
There you are.
I am just flabbergasted. If you guys do what we do and listen to the stories and write down notes, you can share your notes with us.
Yeah.
Mine are all in these accordion post-its. what a ghost ship.
Right? I wanted there to be more that I could do like a full episode on it, but like they just disappear.
And that's that.
And Bolog is gone now. So the end.
And that's it, right? Like even people with more knowledge of the future can't do anything with it. Nope. Because now that it's gone.
It's gone.
That's
It makes me mad.
That makes me uneasy too. That it feels like something that's worth keeping, even if things are transcribed.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't know what the process was. Like, did it get does the court hold on to it and then it just got misfiled and they're gonna find it one day in someone's attic? Or, God, you know,
can you imagine?
Antique Roadshow. I bought this at a garage sale for $5.
This is the Mary Celeste book. Well, thank you to Christina for this amazing episode. And thank you to our patrons for your continued support. If you'd like to be a patron, like our illustrious group of patrons already, once again, head over to patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine. You join the Patreon for as little as $3, but for a little less $5 a month, you get a bonus exclusive episode every month. And going up from there, you get this and more, stickers and swag and all these fun things and just fun messages and the opportunity to just, you know, be a part of this really nice little community. We have some really cool things we're planning for the rest of 2024. So thanks for joining us. And thanks for listening to this wonderful, crazy, creepy little episode. Well, I've been Adam Mace.
I've been Christina Marinelli.
This has been the New York Mystery Machine patron exclusive. We'll see you very soon again. Thanks for taking a ride on the New York Mystery Machine.
Tiny Hall. For ghosts
that are missing at
that are missing for missing ghosts.
The New York Mystery Machine is brought to you in part by listeners like you.
That's right. Head on over to our Patreon, and for as little as $3 a month, you can help keep the pod growing.
By joining, you can access a whole bunch of cool stuff, such as mini episodes, swag, exclusive playlists, and more.
Head to www.patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine to find out more and become a patron.
That's www.patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine and join our ever-growing community today.
So you listen to our podcast, which means you must love mysteries.
But how would you like to solve your very own mystery?
Hunt a Killer is an immersive murder mystery game told over the course of 6 episode boxes. Each box is filled with different clues and physical items such as autopsy reports, witness statements, and more. You'll use these clues to solve an ongoing murder mystery.
Work solo or as a team of sleuths to finally crack the case and reveal the murderer.
So do you think you have what it takes to hunt a killer? If so, head to www.huntakiller.com and use the code NYMysteryMachine for 20% off the first box.
That's www.huntakiller.com and the code is NYMysteryMachine.
Sign up now and begin the hunt.
Ba ba ba!